War, persecution, and poverty, the main reasons why so many people are forced to leave their homes and homeland in search of a better life. How do we as Christians treat these people, whom we call refugees, migrants, immigrants, when they appear on our shores? What can we do to help them integrate into our societies? What can we do to help them and their countrymen at home so they will not feel the need to leave their native land in the first place? Well, these are some of the questions that will be examined this week by participants at a special seminar in Liverpool in northern England. Our very own Linda Bordoni was invited by the Archdiocese of Liverpool to cover the event, which runs from the 19th through the 23rd and focuses on migrants as a new point of evangelization and solidarity. She talked earlier with Liverpool Archbishop Patrick Kelly about the seminar and its theme, In This Age of Human Mobility.
We've had to face the fact that you cannot understand the European story unless you understand the African story. We tend to put it the other way around. We tend to say you can't understand Africa without Europe. But you've also got to put it the other way around. For example, let's be quite frank about it. You cannot understand the prosperity in a country like my own England in electricity if you don't take account of copper from Zambia. And the story could be repeated in over and over again.
What is exactly the aim of this symposium?
The aim is to first of all to recognise the truth. Almost like a Reconciliation and Truth Commission. What is the truth about the relationships between the African continent and the story of Europe? But also facing new issues which touch especially the countries around the Mediterranean, the questions of migration, asylum seekers, those who are called, and I cringe at the word, economic migrants. I have to say my father was an Irish economic migrant who left Ireland to find greater prosperity in England. So I think it's a very dangerous word to use. It seems to dismiss people far too quickly. But we've got to face that not only is there a past story, of which the most horrendous element was, of course, the slave trade, but there are issues today of migration and indeed of authentic trade, which recognises what should be the return for the resources which still the rest of the world finds in and from Africa.
So we still have to acknowledge that, really, don't we?
Absolutely. We've got to acknowledge it very severe. And in a way, Liverpool is privileged to welcome this conference, but there's also, in a sense, a debt. And that's why, quite practically, I've said it's right that all those taking part are the guests of our diocese. I'm not saying, therefore, we've lots of money which we can spare. I've just been told today, here in the middle of October, that in up to September, the drop in our portfolio, because of the economic problems, dropped by 15%, and it's dropped since. So those are part of our reality. But still, there's no doubt at all that the prosperity, especially the west coast of England, is inseparable from the reality of the slave trade.
Also, the fact that Liverpool has been chosen as the seat, the venue of this symposium is not by chance, is it?
No, it's because we are this year the European Capital of Culture. And what I think I can say is that the committee, whoever they are who organise these things, have said Liverpool's proved to be one of the best they've ever had. Now, the reason is twofold. It's not just we've had some wonderful, what you might call, high culture. We've had, for example, the Berlin Philharmonic conducted by Simon Rattle. We've had three amazing requiems using the two cathedrals. One, the world premiere by John Taverner's requiem in the Metropolitan Cathedral, which was breathtaking. Then the War Requiem was performed in Liverpool Anglican Cathedral, but was also performed deliberately in Cologne Cathedral 2 days later. Again, facing the fact the two cities were once, well, bombed by each other. And the third was Verdi's Requiem in the Metropolitan. But also there have been many things of very popular nature. silly things in a way. Like we had 100 what they call super lamb bananas around the city, which were like a lamb with a banana for a tail. And it's one of these things which grabbed everybody's fascination, and children could sit on them and be photographed.
What kind of an installation?
Just there, just for fun. And I think it's a good time to be coming. And on a quite serious level, it's arguable this will be the most significant event when we think of what culture really means. What is the story, Liverpool? This will be the most international event of the whole year. Now, it won't be big in numbers. They say when the tall ships came in, there were 1 million people. Now, we won't have 1 million people. But in terms of its significance, the gathering from across Europe and across Africa, I think it's going to be very significant. And the Lord Mayor's
going to talk. You were also mentioning before when we were speaking that not only is Liverpool the capital of culture, of European culture this year, but it's also a very significant place on the map because of the slave trade.
It is, because it was, when we think of the slave trade, and it's to do with the port, but it's what you call the triangle, a triangle of a terrible trade. The ship sailed from Africa to the Americas with slaves. They sailed from the Americas back to the west coast of England, mainly, because of, that's the Atlantic side, with raw materials. Out of that arose, for example, very significant trades. Liverpool was one of the main factories for Tate and Lyle sugar. It was one of the main places for British America tobacco. It had a huge cotton industry and wood. And all those raw materials came from Latin America. So the ships came back laden with raw materials. Then they sailed back to Africa with finished products. So the owners made money on all three legs of the journey.
Now we're talking about a kind of slavery that, thank God, doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. But new kinds of slavery do exist in today's society. Will this also be one of the...
Yes, we intend to look at issues like small things. What sort of welcome do students from other countries receive when they come to our city? Many do. From China, for example. Many Chinese students study in Liverpool. We're also going to look at the question of, for example, we have different names across Europe. In England, the name we use is travellers. And they can be a minority. They're not coloured, so you don't see them. But they can have a very difficult time because they have a slightly different culture, a certain different way of relating. And we're going to look at some of those issues as well. And, of course, we do have asylum seekers. We are one of the places where asylum seekers are sent away from London to disperse them. And one of the churches where we will celebrate Mass, the presbytery, which is very big, was once a monastery, in fact, that is now a base to assist asylum seekers in Liverpool.
So do you foresee the participation of, say, asylum seekers and migrants in some of the events?
We intend to. We've got to be very honest. There are not nearly as many migrants and asylum seekers in Liverpool as other parts of England. The reason is that, and I give a very simple example, the railway station, which is where most of the staff serving the conference symposium and people of the media will be staying, is near Lime Street Station. Not that long ago, between that station and the river, there were 900,000 people living. The total population today of the whole city is 440,000 because there isn't work. The docks, which used to employ tens of thousands, the tonnage is greater than it ever was, but it's all containerised and a ship turns round within 12 hours. So we've not got the migration because we haven't got the opportunities for work.
Briefly, just tell me a little bit about the symposium. You've mentioned a few of the events, but what will be happening day to day?
Well, what we're doing, we've got, if you like, three threads to it. The prayer, the formal lectures and social, which are that most days have a bit of all of them. We're doing some small things which I think are important. Every morning, the participants are invited to go to the cathedral for morning prayer, which will be open to the public. It is at 7:30, so we don't expect hundreds, but there is morning prayer every day in the cathedral at 7:45, but we're having it at 7:30. It will be in Latin and other languages to respond to those taking part. And it's near enough to the main hotel for people just to walk and then have breakfast. That's the constant thread. Then each day there are lectures, quite formal lectures, on various aspects of migration, asylum seeking, trade. And then there are social events. For example, we're going to have mass in two parishes, two evening masses, and afterwards the parish is going to welcome all the guests with a meal provided by, when I say by the parish, I don't mean the parish is paying for it, they're going to make it. Which I think is all a nice.
They're
going to cook it, and it's going to, and they will
lay the tables.
They will work, and they are. You'll find beautiful people who will love doing this, and I think that should be very special. And then on the final evening, the Saturday evening, I've booked tickets for the Liverpool Philharmonic. There's a concert of two concert performances of two short operas, the Liverpool Philharmonic, the European Opera Chorus. And the conductor, our marvellous Russian conductor, Vasily Petrenko, is conducting. So, and we've invited to that, besides the participants, all the church leaders of Liverpool and their wives, because they're married church leaders, and the ecumenical officers of the northwest of England, again, to give an ecumenical feel to it. And we'll gather for evening prayer, supper, then the concert.
And just briefly, who are the other participants going to
be? Well, we're still waiting. I know that Archbishop Anaikin is going to come from Nigeria.
Yes.
And he's going to, as it happens, the BBC are broadcasting evening prayer live from the cathedral on the first evening. I've asked Archbishop Anaikin to give the sermon. And he's promised he'll be 3 minutes, because the BBC insists it will be 3 minutes. So you know he's coming. And the Cardinal Archbishop of Zagreb is certainly coming. The others, I haven't seen the list. It's back in England. It's happened while I've been away. So 12 African bishops, 12 European
12
bishops.
12 African bishops, yeah. And 12 European,
yes,
bishops. It sounds very exciting.
Should be.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to say about it? I see it's got a theme.
Yes, I was strange you made me welcome, because that happens to be the gospel on the last Sunday. And it's a slight bonus, but it is public. We've had to make it public that the Sunday will be the Feast of Christ the King,
right,
which is the patronal feast of our cathedral, and it happens to be the Archbishop's 70th birthday.
Oh, goodness.
So it's going to be
big celebration.
A multifaceted celebration. I think the Lord Mayor is attending, the Lord Lieutenant, the Queen's representative, and it will be, I think, a significant occasion. And I think people will enjoy it, but the enjoyment, which has also got a very serious, solid side to it. But Liverpool is a very welcoming city. They've said the Year of Culture has shone because of that. People gave examples like, unlike other cities, they would arrive, and if they were standing at this railway station with a map, within seconds somebody would stand and say, "Are you lost? Can I help you?" And
Liverpoolians are famous for
they are. So I think they should be all right. You know, they will be welcome, yes.
Thank you very much, Archbishop Kelly.
Archbishop of Liverpool Patrick Kelly is also Vice President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference for England and Wales. He was speaking there to Linda Bordoni.